Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Emma Laurentis, Kevin Wash, and Michael Davis. The question I have today, where is the line between having ambition and driving yourself to an early grave? Michael, can you kick us off?
I believe there is not a clearly defined line here. I've thought about this topic for years because people sometimes have said to me, oh, you work so much, you're a workaholic. No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. I love what I do so much that the cliched, I do it for free. Not really. I need to feed my family. But I love it so much. I get so immersed in it. I can easily put in 8 hours and it feels like two. When it becomes a detriment to your health is when you've got a job you need to survive and you don't like it. That becomes the problem. And I know that's simplifying it, but I believe all solutions start with a simple answer and start from there. So I'll hand it off to Emily or Kevin.
This is such a great topic. Dr. Robin always has some amazing topics on this series. I want to piggyback off of what he said. I think what the part is when you really are not enjoying what you're doing and it's becoming a loss of joy, you're becoming resentful, you're finding yourself struggling to remember why you're doing what you're doing and maybe the reasons why what you're doing was started for external validation or other reasons beyond, you know, your inward decisions to do things. But when it starts becoming a lack of kind of work-life integration, like what Michael said, when you really enjoy what you do it well, you work hard, but then you also play hard, right? You want to make sure that you have that separation of work and life, right? And if you are going to maintain a certain pace, is it really cutting into other areas in your life that is starting to create problems, even health and mental health problems? When those things start creeping up, it's literally at this point a physical representation of how you're feeling about what you're doing. And it's going beyond just ambition. It's becoming something that you're forcing, something that needs to happen. And you're going to do it by all means necessary, even if that means hurting yourself or other people. If you're running a team and you're putting a lot of pressures too, that can also spill over. But I think that really understanding the reasons why you're doing what you're doing can avoid some of these instances because a lot of people sometimes start things with the wrong reasons. So really understanding your why when you're working on certain ambitious projects.
Actually, my kind of point follows on from what Emily's saying. I think one of the first things that you have to ask yourself is, what is the ambition? And then what's driving the ambition? Is your ambition driven by your ego because you want to be the best in the world at whatever? Or is your ambition driven by your heart and your soul because you want to be the best provider for your family? You don't necessarily want to be the best tennis player in the world, but you want to be the best husband, father, mother, sister, brother that you can be. So I think a lot of it's defined by what you want. The line behind that, of course, is if it's success, how do you define success? I think the key to everything in life is moderation. And I think one of the biggest challenges that people have in life, you can take ambition and you can immediately focus it to work. And then, of course, you come up with the problem of finding the answer to the archetypal challenge, the life and work balance. I've met plenty of workaholics, but I wouldn't say they were ambitious. In some ways, they were quite insecure in their work. So they were workaholics to try to show their worth to their employer. Whereas the ambitious person was always the one thinking, I'm not staying here as an employee. I'm going to go off and do something else or whatever. So for me, it's kind of what's the driving force behind the ambition.
What about someone like Steve Jobs? Driven, excited, ambitious, loved his job, worked himself literally into an early grave because he didn't take care of his health.
Well, I'm not sure he worked himself into an early grave because he didn't take care of his health. I think one of the causes that Steve Jobs went into an early grave is because he wouldn't listen to people from different professions because what he died of was completely treatable. I find him fascinating. I've read his autobiography, which is an amazing book because he was very honest in it. And he struck me as being a very dislikable person. So this focus was incredible. What he produced was amazing, but I'm not sure I'd want to have lived inside his skin.
Yeah. And that's the ambition to the early grave. I feel, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I read his biography too, and I admire what he did in the business world. I think he acknowledged toward the end of his life, boy, I could have been better. Could have been a better father. I wish I would have listened to the healthcare people because Kevin's right. It was treatable. He just was stubborn. I don't think that has anything to do with his work as much as he was so stubborn as an individual, his reality distortion field. He brought that into the healthcare part of his life and that killed him.
You mentioned that, Michael, the stubbornness. And I think that emotional flexibility is very important as you're moving along the spectrum of change and as you're moving towards goals that you are trying to achieve, because things come up along the way and you have to be open to new perspectives, new ways of doing things, pandemics, you know, things that are completely out of our control. And I think that if we become so fixed on the outcome of how it needs to look like, we can become very emotionally rigid, and it doesn't allow us to have the emotional flexibility to solve those problems.
And so how might you notice if your ambition is becoming rigid, unflexible, driving you to an early grave? Because it is, especially, I guess, here in the States, very rewarded to be ambitious and go out and work yourself to an early grave. How do you notice?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're seeing somebody really getting fixated on something they cannot control and trying to force changes and things that are completely out of control, you really can't change, but you believe that it needs to be this way. And you're not open to doing anything differently. This is the way that we've done it. This is the way that I know everybody's doing it this way. So there's a lot of, when you start becoming very fixated on the process, and when you're coming up against obstacles, you're just staying in that overthinking. You're just so upset that you hit this hurdle and this obstacle. And why is this here? Instead of thinking, how can I figure this out and remove this obstacle, but also prepare myself in the future that if it does happen, how can I deal with it in a different way?
I think that there's some obvious external signs when you see people that are so focused on it. You can tell that they're not living a particularly well-balanced life. They're not sleeping, they're not eating. So their physical appearance goes down. There's a simple thing about the people that are around them or the people that they surround themselves with, because the people that become over-fixated, they basically don't listen to anybody. So you won't see them having dialogue or communication with people or asking a wonderful question, what do you think about this? That generally doesn't happen.
I think you have to be willing to look at yourself. Late last year, COVID finally caught up to me, because my business was home-based long before the lockdown, and I was very comfortable doing what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But it caught up to me, and I went into a funk and didn't realize that I stopped marketing and networking, and it almost cost me my business. So I had the verbal butt kicking from my business coach in January. And what happened was I went to the opposite. I went all in and I became obsessed with every day making sure I'm in front of people. Well, it's paying off because business started booming, but I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And in the last 2 weeks, I brought a virtual assistant back on because I realized I can't go at this pace. I don't know that I would have been willing to do that several years ago when I was a bit younger. And I love what I do, absolutely. But I had to recognize the signs that I'm spending so much time over here away from what I love doing to keep the business going. Mm-hmm. I'm not enjoying it as much and I'm exhausted. And I had to be willing to admit that. People around me saw it, but I had to come to the conclusion.
I think that's a good point, because I think it's easy when we think about ambition and saying, well, I love it, so I don't mind working. Well, what about the people around you? What about the people who love you? Are you doing them a disservice by the amount of work that you're putting in?
I would agree with that. I think a lot of it's determined by your age, at what stage of your life you're at. Mm-hmm. But the people that are really trying to carve a career, they will always come up with a line, I'm doing this for my family. But I will often question and say, are you doing this for your family, or are you just simply taking yourself away from your family? I've actually personally experienced this, where I was so focused on trying to achieve something. And when I achieved it and got all of the so-called trappings of success, I actually realized they were worth nothing. They really were. The thing that was worth something was the emotional value of relationships. And that's what I've been suffering. And that's a common side. So you go like crazy to get to whatever it is that you want. And then when you get there, you find yourself on your own. A lot of people would say, I'd rather have the relationship than the whatever it is being the number one gives me.
I think that sometimes when there's dynamics between relationships and families and marriages and things like that, there's sometimes ways that people are dealing with it instead of addressing what is there, they find then they're going to dive themselves in something instead, because that's going to kind of avoid and kind of distract them from what exactly is going in the relationship and things like that. Going back to why are you doing this? If you're saying this for the relationships, are they even part of that? When you talked about working at this way, did you talk about the time that you were going to spend, the financial investment that was going to be involved? If those conversations are not being held in these relationships that are going to be affected by your ambition, they're going to show up, and they will show up in sneaky ways. Sometimes when you're seeing people who are away from home for extended period of time, sometimes it's maybe being used to distract themselves or to not even be around that person.
And that is a really good place for us to end it, because that is our 10 minutes. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.